Welcome into the Green Zone post-game show. Hope you, well, you probably didn't enjoy the baseball game, did you? 5-1 as the Dodgers beat the Blue Jays in game number two. Thanks for your patience as we bring you the Green Zone post-game show with the Riders 27-21 loss to the BC Lions. The fan line is open at 1-877-332-8255 if you want to give us a call. We'd love to chat about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders regular season finale as they lose to the BC Lions and they go to 12-6 to the Riders. They, of course, will be hosting the West Final, and the BC Lions finishing at 11-7. They will host the Calgary Stampeders in the West Semi. And of course, the Blue Bombers are heading east. They will be in Montreal next week as the Bombers finish at 10-8 on the season, as they take on the Montreal Alouettes in the East semifinal with that crossover spot. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, here on the Green Zone postgame show, 27-21. Thoughts, gentlemen, on how the Riders played today?
Well, their backups are good enough to beat the BC Lions, and starter versus starter, I think the Rough Riders were better tonight, Belton, weren't they?
They were very good tonight, and you know, other than, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, the game started at 5, right? And I'm still driving, and it's like, look up and heard of the fans, touchdown 63-yarder, right? And so I was worried right then, like, oh, man, the BC, they're finna run right over. But you're right, Darryl. They were scrappy tonight. They deserved, in my opinion, they deserved to win that game tonight. Mm-hmm. But there was some things I didn't like.
Always. The game got moved ahead 8 minutes earlier, so the Lions got a lot quicker start, right?
Just, oh, they did, yeah.
We're not sure why TSN moved it ahead. Maybe because the Blue Jays are on at the same time. That was a quick first half.
It was.
65 minutes after the 5 p.m. kickoff, we were done the first half. It was great to see, and it motored along pretty well at the – in the second half, too, except then the God Center steps in, slows things down, messes things up, as it always does. So other than that, it was an entertaining enough game, and I think the Rough Riders are going to get some confidence out of this one. But it's a loss.
It's a loss, yeah, but, you know, I'm going to tell you the thing I like. Some of those young guys, I'll tell you, on defense, that was Aubrey Miller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Middle linebacker.
Yep. And just the depth of this team, it is amazing that they were able – again, third, fourth stringer guys playing, they're able to keep up with the starters of the BC Lions. Could not believe it. And, you know, again, my head automatically jumps to playoffs like, man, how, like the roster for the playoffs? Oh, they're gonna be fine, man. And Lacombo, it was good to see him back there.
He got
an interception, right?
And safety, yep.
And Baldonado, like, these guys, they were getting sacks, getting pressure on them.
Caleb Sanders.
Oh.
Yeah, nice defensive line. Yeah, they're in pretty good shape.
And these aren't the
Mike Rose isn't playing. Shane Ray is not playing. Jameer Thurman was out early.
Right?
C.J. Revis wasn't. But Roland Milligan's not in the lineup. They have 3 1,000-yard receivers not in the lineup tonight. And they were better than the B.C. Lions. It was 18-10 when Trevor Harris left the game.
Yeah. And him? He needed that rest last week.
He needed the rest,
week.
Didn't he? He looked really sharp tonight. Yeah.
The balls, it
had some zip.
He had some zip on it tonight, Darryl.
I think the rest was a great idea. Did you see him run the one time, too?
Oh, yeah. I started calling him Vic and everything out there.
Trevor Vic, he calls himself, right? What does Britain call him? T-Mobile, right? That's one of his nicknames, too. But seeing Trevor Harris run, you still got to go.
Oh, I did that, Darryl.
He slides a lot better than a lot of quarterbacks do. So
when the guy jumped at his ankles, I was like,
Yeah.
Look out, Trevor.
He was picking the legs up. He was moving, man.
As the Rough Riders do lose one tonight, 27-21, the fan line is open, 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Matthew up first. Matthew, what are you thinking tonight with the Riders' loss to the Lions?
You know what, guys? I've never been more upset about a meaningless game in my entire life. I came in from Manitoba, drove 6 hours to watch the Riders tonight, and I fully expected a loss, which they lost tonight, not a big deal. But with how it went down with that ref show tonight is horrible. It is an indictment on this league. You know, like, we have the commissioner wanting to change the rules, shorten the field, move the goalposts, shorten the time clock. You know what's really the problem with this league is the reffing, the God Center deciding when and when they want to make change plays. It like that electric play by Campbell to run that ball all the way back to the end zone, and they decided that it's not a touchdown because a ref decided to blow the whistle early, is horrendous. I can't remember the last time I've been so mad about a meaningless game in my entire life. I drive 6 hours to come to games, and that's how it plays out with the refs deciding just when and where they want to blow a whistle. Mm-hmm. It's horrendous, guys. Like, I spend my money to come all the way down to Saskatchewan for these games, and it's just horrible how that's going to... Like, you want to talk about how to fix the league? Fix the reffing. Mm-hmm. Fix the God Center. That's how you do it. Yep. I really don't have much else to say, because at the end of the day, it was a meaningless game. The Riders are going to the Western Finals. I'm excited for it, and I will be here for it. But if that's how this league is going in this direction, I don't know how much longer I can support this. It is horrible. I'll let you guys talk about those points from there, but I needed to vent my frustration with it, because it was terrible.
It was.
Have a good night, guys, and love the show.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew.
He's right, man. He is right.
The first thing you said, Belt, when you came in, they're supposed to let that play out. The Tavon Campbell play, it's one of the most exciting plays you'll ever see in the Canadian Football League, and he's an amazing. How about Nathan Rourke chasing him down and trying to get him right at the goal line, the quarterback who handed off the football? That's wonderful to watch. Oh, no, we blew the whistle a minute and a half ago. So we have to stop it. Let the play out. That's what's supposed to happen.
Well, and that's the thing I didn't understand, Darryl, right? It was, you know, Hatcher catches the ball. He's hit immediately.
Yep.
Ball pops out, scoops up, and go. Like, at what point did he blow that whistle? Once it hit, the ball just popped out, hit the ground?
I think they blew it thinking it was a touchdown.
He was at about the 15, 20 yard, I was sitting with my family in the north end zone. Yep, so that was where that play was.
Yep.
I did hear a whistle.
I did.
When Campbell had the ball.
When Campbell had the ball.
So it was long after the play. Oh, jeez.
That's terrible. That's what I'm saying.
And the ref, so I watched Campbell run. There was one ref. I'll have to check who was reffing
tonight. I want to know who that ref was. Yeah.
Who was at the goal line, and there was one BC Lion receiver, Barry Hill, who was standing there, and he was pointing at him.
This guy blew his whistle.
And he was like, you blew the whistle. Uh-huh. This play's dead. He knew it.
I saw that.
But I was like, well, they're letting him go. They're supposed to let him go.
Because
usually you hear tweet, like multiple whistles.
Like, how can that guy, that long after the play, make a call on that when the only reason they could have called that dead was a touchdown? And it wasn't a touchdown, so you let that play out, right? And then you let the play finish and then go to the review center.
I couldn't believe it, man.
And unbelievable. That last touchdown by Hatcher, I don't think it was a touchdown either, how they overruled it. So there's 14 points against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. To me, the Rough Riders win.
They should have won. They should have.
Yeah.
BC should be going to Montreal.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
People are tweeting tonight how great it is for the league that BC hosts a playoff game in a Amar Dome, and they're going to pack that building. And, and I'm like,
there's going to be some angry.
Rider fans are
going. They should be team, man.
Absolutely.
They saw what I saw. Even I'm sitting there like, how?
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to go get up there and go down there, Jamie. Man, that was terrible.
Maybe we should ref.
That's twice now.
Jose Onyeka, earlier this season to him as well, right?
So that's why I want to know who that ref is, Jamie.
The same guy.
That's what I'm saying, Darryl.
I think it's Omar Doman with a whistle.
1-877
BC Lions owner, in case anybody knows.
He's the BC Lions owner. 1-877-332-8255 on the fan line here on the Green Zone post-game show. Give us a ring how you're feeling about this one tonight as the Riders drop one to the BC Lions in the regular season finale. Keith, how you doing tonight, Keith?
Hey, I'm doing really well, Jamie and guys. Thank you for going into extra time to give Rider fans a chance to get some therapy here and to express our concern about officiating. I'm going to leave you with three quick points to get my way back to Saskatoon. Number one, big picture. We finished 12-6. We lost our last two games by a combined 7 points to a pair of playoff teams while we rested a lot of starters. So big picture there. Again, I know we're going into the playoffs in a two-game slide, but I'm quite optimistic when I look for the playoff success. Number two, bigger picture. I might be the only Rider season ticket holder who is not upset that we lost tonight. Little known fact here that we have, as the Saskatchewan Roughriders, have never won a Grey Cup in a season when we've won more than 12 games. So I was the only season ticket holder tonight hoping the Riders would not win game number 13.
Interesting. So
thank you, Riders, for doing that for us. And number three, biggest picture of all, Belton, you know what's coming. 34-26, we stormed into Norman.
Woo!
Belton, can we hear it for the franchise that features Trinidad Chambliss, the quarterback, the future quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders? Can we hear it for the college football team that featured Belton Johnson, Kent Austin, Eli Manning, Deuce McAllister, the most underrated running back in NFL history? Belton, 34-26, or Oklahoma, can you give me a gosh almighty?
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Damn right! Hardy toddy, gosh almighty, who the hell are we? Hey, flim flam, bim bam, Ole Miss by down. Let's go, Rebel! Number eight in the country.
They might be seven or six after this week.
And we're going to pay Lane Kiffin. Back the truck up. Back it up.
Belton's very excited about his Ole Miss Rebels tonight here on the Green Zone post-game show. Thanks for the call, Keith. Thanks for your patience tonight, Rider Nation. We're going to keep the calls coming. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Give us a ring now here on the Green Zone post-game show. Your thoughts on the officiating, your thoughts on this team getting ready for one more win. One win, and they will be in the Grey Cup in Winnipeg. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome into the Green Zone postgame show, as a little bit delayed tonight because of the baseball game, as the Dodgers beat the Blue Jays 5-1 to even up the World Series 1-1. A reminder, the Green Zone / Blue Zone will be hosting a watch party for Game 3 Monday in Regina, Boston Pizza. We have a jersey giveaway that evening, Vic East location, Starlight Drive, ahead of the Jays and the Dodgers. And, of course, we'll be watching the game at Boston Pizza. You can still listen to the World Series right here on CJME and CKOM. But let's get right back to it with the Riders' 27-21 loss to the BC Lions. We now know the playoff bracket. BC hosting Calgary in the West semi next week. Montreal hosting Winnipeg in the East semi next week. The Rough Riders have a bye and will host the West final. Hamilton also has a bye and will host the East final, as Winnipeg will host the Grey Cup later on in November. Let's get right back to the fan line, though. You can give us a ring, 1-877-332-8255. David is in Malford tonight. David, what are you thinking this evening?
Yeah, well, I only watched the first half tonight because then I switched over and I didn't see the second half yet. I switched over and watched the Blue Jays get their butt kicked, but
you'll get really angry, David. You'll get really angry.
I seen the highlight of the play there. My goodness, I don't know how that official could even explain himself. Obviously, it was the guy standing on the goal line by the pylon there that blew the whistle. But you could hear, I heard a whistle when I was watching the highlight, but it was already when Campbell was picking the ball up and starting to run. Like, I don't know if there's a delay there or not, but man, Campbell already was picking the ball up and starting to run when the whistle went on the TV. So I don't know what that's. I don't know how the CFL grades their officials, but that guy should not be on an officiating crew in the playoffs just for that one call at all by itself. And that's two touchdowns taken away in the last three, four games by us that could have cost us two wins if it really would have meant anything in the standings, which really sucks. And I think if Stewie wants to get this league at a higher level, I think you should start right there with the God Center and the officiating, because that's garbage. And I watched the first half. I was really impressed with the Riders. Harris looked really good. He was throwing the ball well, even with basically, I would say, two receivers in the game that hopefully are only the two that hopefully got, well, I guess three receivers, but hopefully we got Johnson and Byers back next game. So with a mostly backup receiving core, I thought he looked really good. And, yeah, I'm not concerned about this loss as far as going forward in the Western Final, because I think it'll be a totally different team. And I think the Riders proved today in the first half that that they can handle BC if they come out and play their game. Well, I think that's about it. I am really interested in the roster setup for the playoff game. Although the coach will have a few decisions to make. So I think some of these guys that come in late here did themselves well. So we'll see what happens. But thanks, and go Riders.
David, thanks so much for your call tonight here on the Green Zone post-game show. I don't want to say the ref, but I am, because he just said who it was on the near the pylon, the ref that Barry Hill pointed at. He is a well-known ref. He's refed, I believe, over 600 games in the Canadian Football League. Oh. He ain't a rookie.
So he should know better. Oh, man.
It was Murray Clark.
Is that the guy who blew the whistle? Do we know that?
I don't know if he was the one who blew the whistle, but he was the one Barry Hill pointed at.
Said he blew the whistle. Okay.
Well, because it was number 22, and that's Murray Clark, and he was the side judge today. He used to be one of the head officials in the Canadian Football League at a time. But that is I was looking at the crew. It's a pretty veteran crew today for this one. And Ben Major has been around. Mm-hmm. I know Jason Maggio has been around a long time. Murray Clark definitely has been around. And the replay official tonight. Do you want to know who the replay official is?
Absolutely. That's who I'm at. I think that's who I'm most disparaging towards.
Al Bradbury.
Oh, boy. Okay. That's the one that bothers me more. Yes, an official blew the call on Tavon Campbell's return. I understand that he blew it too early on the field. Sometimes you get excited. He made a mistake. I understand that. It's not reviewable. The problem I have was the Hatcher touchdown at the end, the game-winning touchdown that was initially called an incompletion by an official who was 10 feet away from it. Said, that's not a catch. Okay, let's go to review. This is what they put the God Center in to say it's absolutely changes it. If I can absolutely say that it was a catch, I'm going to. The God Center, I don't know how they absolutely said it was a catch to overrule that. That's a game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
That's the one that I have more problem with. Yes, the guy made a mistake whistling Tavon Campbell down too early, but to make a mistake on a review, that is absolutely unacceptable, and it's the reason why the God Center in this league stinks to high heaven and should never be used again. That's how strongly I'm starting to think about it, and I'm seeing things from fans across the country. We're all calling it the God Center. What do you think that means about this thing? It means it's ridiculous. It's not the replay center. It's not the command center anymore. It takes over football games like God takes over the world.
I can't believe that was deemed
conclusive
evidence. Because when Keon rolls over, the ball drags on the turf.
I agree. I saw it, man.
How conclusive enough to overrule?
Yeah, exactly.
It was supposed to be overruling clear and obvious mistakes. That wasn't a clear and obvious mistake.
Absolutely, it wasn't. And that's the issue I have. I'm a longtime hockey ref, so a guy makes a mistake on the field, I can handle that. Because, okay, he said, you know what, I blew the whistle too early. He shouldn't have. It probably should have been blown if they thought it was a touchdown.
Yeah.
But to have the review in place that allows you to look at it and say, as Jamie just described, conclusive evidence, absolutely 100% irrefutable evidence that that was a catch. There was no such thing as irrefutable evidence. They cannot call that a touchdown catch. So it shouldn't have been a touchdown. It should have been called. The original call was incompletion. Let's move on. Unbelievably bad.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone postgame show. Dave out in BC tonight. Dave, what are you thinking with the Riders' 12-6 record heading to the playoffs? Or maybe you want to focus in on this game or both?
Oh, well, the Riders are going to win the Grey Cup. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to have to change my statement. I'm going to make two really quick points. Daryl, you're good. Jamie, replay that rant that he just said, because everything that he just said is 110% correct. And that is an amazing statement that he just made. And I was listening, I was like cheering in my Riders jersey, in my Oilers jersey. I'm like, oh, Daryl, go, Daryl. Trust me. Yeah, absolutely everything, Daryl, you just said, you are 110% correct. The only other question I have for you guys is, in your experience, do you think that it was smart to take Burris out of
Harris.
Quarterback position?
Harris
Henry
out of the...
Burris. Henry Burris out of it? Do you think it...
No, Trevor Harris.
The right thing to do or not?
Trevor Harris. You're talking about Trevor Harris, taking Trevor Harris out of the game. Yeah, I'm like, I am not reliving.
I'm too stuck on Daryl. I'm excited about his comment. And let's go from that. You have to replay that. You should put that on the green zone for now as, like, I don't know, like a hit show. Daryl Davis right there.
The hits with Daryl Davis. Okay, Trevor Harris. Daryl, you were all over them for taking Jake Mayer out of the game last week. Did they make the right decision taking Trevor Harris out of the game this week?
I wrote this week, Jamie, in the Leader Post, that they should have left him in for the entire first half.
Yeah,
I think it's good. Belton and I were talking, and I think you agreed with it. He looked better this week. He had some zip in his ball. He ran once. He looked sharp. And I think giving him a rest was a great idea. I would have said let him have that whole first half. They took him out with 5 minutes left in the first half. I can live with that a little bit this time. I still think they had a chance to win with Jake Mayer. I didn't think they had a chance to win with Jack Cohn last week. And that's why I was angry with them taking out Jake Mayer. He did give them a chance. With their backups, they had a chance to win. And I realized why they wanted to do it. It was something that we talked about last week. Letting Jake Mayer run the offense in the last 5 minutes of the first half, and then again in the last 5 minutes of the second half, gives him great experience. Yes, Jamie, he's started 46, 47, 48 CFL games, but this is a whole new, it's a familiar offense, but it's a whole new bunch of players, right? Mm-hmm. Let him run it when it really matters at the end. I think that's an okay philosophy. I'm good with that this time, Jamie. I thought that pulling Trevor Harris, yes, you don't want to take a risk after, especially if he's going to run, this silly guy, right? Don't pull him. I think, okay, maybe they say, listen, we're going to take you out and make sure you're okay. He is okay. The offense looked good. I had no problem with the way they did it. I know they probably might have changed it a little bit. I just say leave that open just in case, but they had their decision made. They were going to put in Jake Mayer, and he played okay. It wasn't great, but that's what Jake Mayer is supposed to do, is give them a chance to win, and he did.
And Trevor Harris, right? I felt like that was the best the offense looked in at least 2 to 3 weeks.
Without Myers, Emelis, and Johnson, too, right?
And it was. And, you know.
And a new offensive line in a lot of ways, right?
It was. Because, you had, four Americans starting, right? And for me, I was good seeing that. But I wanted to see Trevor Harris in there for the whole first half.
Last week you were saying,
I don't
when we
think he
about
was
this,
very happy. Did you? Were you watching him on the sideline?
Yeah, getting pulled out. No, he didn't want to get pulled out. He never does. We know, right? But I think playing a half, I think that's okay. He said in the pregame interviews that we played on here on the Green Zone, I trust Mace, he said. So if I don't want to come out, he knows that. I don't want to say it anymore because he's probably sick of me saying it. This is Trevor Harris speaking to the reporters. And so he understood he was going to come out. He played well. He played did what he was supposed to do. He probably shouldn't have run that one time. I wish he'd go down because
it was a 13-yard scamper by the nimble 39-year-old.
You can hear the whole stadium go, what's going to happen? Don't hurt him. Right? He slid okay, so he made sure. But, I'm okay with what happened this week, Jamie. I know it's a little different from last week, but last week I really thought Jack Cohn didn't give them any chance to win. Jake Mayer is supposed to be in a position where he can help this team win. He did. I know that they had an 8-point lead when Trevor Harris came out, and the reason they let Jake Mayer play is okay, because he's got to get some of that important time during a game, because if the Rough Riders lose Trevor Harris, Jake Mayer has to come in. I don't think they're in the playoffs or anywhere down the line, they're going to need Jack Cohn. If they have to put Jack Cohn in, their season is done.
Yeah.
So to have Jake Mayer ready, even more ready to play, and Trevor Harris sharp, fine. I'm good with that, Jamie. So we don't have to fight about it this week. Unless you want to.
Good. Trevor Harris, 10 of 11, 112 yards, 13 yards rushing tonight. What? I actually posted on Twitter and everybody was, I don't know what the vote is now because I left it up for a whole day, but it might have changed. I put the poll out there saying, you know, do you pull him? And the first 12 votes were all pull him. Like, nobody was thinking, no, keep him in there. Mm-hmm. It was, nope, we've seen enough. Good job, Trev. You're humming. Get him to the bench. Get him in a bubble and save him for the West Final. 1-877-332-8255. Jamie Dye, Darryl Davis, Belton Johnson. Of course, we still have a bunch of time for your calls. We're a bit delayed today because of the baseball game, so give us a ring. 1-877-332-8255. Here on the Green Zone postgame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Darryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. As the CFL regular season comes to a conclusion today, with the BC Lions beating the Saskatchewan Roughriders 27-21 at Mosaic Stadium. The Riders did have an 18-10 lead when Trevor Harris left the game. We'll hear from Corey Mace momentarily after the game, his thoughts on why he removed the quarterback. Also, a lot of audio other audio coming back from Mosaic Stadium. But, of course, a lot of time for your calls, 1-877-332-8255. And a big move today in bold predictions by one of the panelists. We'll let you know who that was a little bit later on. But right now, Les, how's it going tonight, Les?
Well, it was going good for a while until the fourth quarter. We got robbed of that game. It should have been a win. I think there's a referee I would have loved to have kicked in the butt, because he blew that whistle for what reason? Can you guys give me a reason why he blew that whistle on that fumble that got ran back? It turns out that it was blown down. I didn't understand that. Why that was that he even blew that whistle.
I imagine he blew it because he thought Keon Hatcher had broken the plane, but he didn't signal touchdown.
No, nobody blew it at the plane.
His back, Hatcher's back was to the goal line. The ball wouldn't even look like it was going over it, James.
Nope.
Because I was looking, when I heard the whistle, I was looking for a ref with his arms in the air signaling a touchdown. Mm-hmm. There wasn't one.
Nope.
And then Barry Hill's pointing at Murray Clark, the veteran side judge. But anyways, yeah. Les, you wanted to talk about quarterbacks as well. What are you thinking?
Colin, he actually did well, real well.
Running short yardage.
That's right. Yeah, he did very good. Our new kicker, excellent. I actually expected a miss tonight, and man, he did 100%. Yeah, good job.
Who do you kick in the playoffs, Les? Who's rolling out there, Hughes or Lawther?
Hughes.
Oh.
I see.
Okay.
100% tonight. You can't guarantee that out of Lawther, can you?
No.
And he's still limping around. So, that's an option. Shake and bake tonight. Excellent. Him and Harris hooked up. Excellent tonight. Good catches. Actually, it was a good game, but we got it taken away by one faulty play. Disgusting. Have a nice night, guys.
Thanks for the call, Les. Here on the Green Zone postgame show.
I agree with Les on the calls completely, and we've had a little bit of discussion. Who do you start a kicker, Belton?
Ooh.
Who's the kicker for the West Final?
He nailed that one kickoff from the 40 through the end zone to the uprights. That's a 90-yard field goal, basically, through the end zone.
And the wind wasn't blowing. No, the wind didn't help that.
No.
And it was towards Pill Country,
which everybody talks
about. Infamous Pill Country.
Yeah.
Who's Belton going with? We're going with freaking Lowther.
You're going with Lowther still.
We're going to ride or die with him.
That, do you think
is
so?
Is that what
you don't have a choice, man.
Your coach Mace, if you get the call, Belton, not what you think he's going to do, what would Coach Belton Johnson do? Who's your kicker in the West Final?
It's going to be Brett Lowther.
You would pick Brett Lowther if you were coaching?
Yes, I would. Why?
Why?
Because I'm not sure this new guy just yet.
One game doesn't serve
it. It doesn't do anything for me, Darryl.
Okay.
Brett Lowther, he hasn't been the greatest all year. The Riders have kept him all the way up to this point.
85% since Labor Day is Brett Lowther. 85%.
Cost him two games since Labor Day, too.
And he's the veteran guy.
Mm-hmm.
So Darryl, you're going with Hughes.
Coach Darryl Davis. Have I said that?
Coach Darryl Davis.
Yeah, I would. Right. I think
you go with the new guy.
I think so.
Where is the sample size, Darryl?
I know. Well, he's perfect. I know that Jamie's point is going to be, and I know that, and you guys too probably, the players like Brett Lowther,
yeah.
But they're professional football players. You perform or you step aside because somebody pushes you aside.
I'm with you
and
there.
Right now, I think that Jeff Hughes proved tonight that he's...
Michael Hughes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Pardon me.
Wait, hold on. Am I right on that? Sorry.
No, I think you're right. Sorry. Okay. The new kicker.
Yeah. Hughes, right?
Hughes. Yeah. Michael Hughes. That's right.
My bad. Sorry about that one. Is 100%. He kicked everything, like you said, kicked it through the end zone, seemed to have a good rhythm. Brett Lowther's apparently hurt, has had back problems. That weighs into the factor a little bit too, or maybe he isn't hurt.
And what
I don't
if it's
know.
Cold with the back issue?
Yes. So I just think you go with it. The players have seen that he's 100% kicker at the moment, right? So, Does that alienate your team? I think that they realize that whatever coaching decision you make right now is totally designed to win a football game.
Yeah.
And right now, he's the kicker who gives you the best chance to win a football game.
Mm.
That's my view. I can be wrong, but that if you're asking me what I would do as the coach right now, that's what I would do.
Now, had you asked me this 8 weeks ago,
they should have made the change then, but they didn't have Hughes.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If he kicked the way
I was surprised,
tonight,
I thought Hughes would have been in the lineup last week.
I did too. I really did. But it was brand new to him. They figured maybe he didn't know all the rules. I don't know. It was a little too quick, right?
And when he
know the rules, kick ball through upright. Who cares?
There are some other rules that you got to just figure, right?
But even when he kicked the extra point, fellas, that ball was at the back. Like, it was gone. I was, woo.
Well, he kicked that one in the pill. Man. He kicked it into pill country.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, if that's 32 yards.
Wow.
And 20 yards, that's 52. And it went into pill country. That's.
I know.
Don't you want a guy on the roll right now? Isn't that what you want? A guy who's on a roll?
And those balls were not slicing.
No. They were straight. Whoa. It was a laser.
He was kicking.
There's no wobble. There is no wobble in those, right? No cut or draw on the ball, Jamie, like a bad tee shot or anything, right?
Oh, man, you got me convinced now, Derek, man. And I ain't even big on kickers, man.
I know, but we have this discussion every week, don't we? Especially this season, it's been up and down. And I just think, he hasn't missed. And I think the players would say, Brett, we love you, but you're not performing at the level we expect from you. We have to make a change.
I can't wait for our next caller. We have to take a quick timeout.
I know who it is.
Quick timeout. Dallas will tell us who should be kicking the football for the Rough Riders in the West Final next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone postgame show. Jamie Nye, Darryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. With you, as the Riders do lose 27-21, we've talked officiating, we've talked did they play Trevor Harris long enough, and now we're on to kicker. Who should be the kicker in the West Final? Dallas! Thanks for calling tonight, Dallas, and thanks for everybody's patience tonight, waiting for that Jays game to end. But Dallas, what are you thinking when it comes to kicker?
Well, before I get into the kicker, I just wanted to quickly make a point about the officiating. Maybe you guys can clarify this. Can CFL refs also get, fines? Like, has there ever been such a thing like that? Or no? And I'll get into what I mean by that. But can a CFL official get fined?
They would only get fined for conduct, like if an official pushed a player or something like that, they would get fined. But they wouldn't get fined for a blown call. They would get graded out and maybe, you know, lose their assignments for the rest of the year, but which would cost them money. But they wouldn't get outright, yeah, we're taking $100 off your check for blowing a whistle too early.
Yeah, no, I wasn't sure if it was more physical contact based, but no, because I think the league really needs to invest in that, because this officiating has been getting, like, it's been a problem for far too long, and things like this, especially when we're basically at a crossroads for the CFL kind of migrating with this NFL ideology. So, like, that's, like, with, you know, some of the changes and whatnot. So I really think they need to start holding them accountable more than just physical accidental contact, whatever. And just grading them out isn't good enough. Like, there needs to be a better quality standard for the refs and the officiating, because if this kind of thing happens in the Grey Cup, that, I can tell you guys, if this, something like that ever happened in the Grey Cup, it would be really hard to bring back this, like, the CFL to actually push it to, you know, more of an audience, and people would already start to lose even more faith in what they already have. I'm looking at the continuity of the CFL. Mm-hmm. That's why I bring this up. But anyway, as far as kicking, definitely, I mean, this is a no-brainer. It's definitely going to be Michael Hughes. And here's the reason why, not just because of everything that I've stated about Brett Lawther, about his inconsistencies, but like when I look at the facts, I mean, I've been saying for how many years, that Brett, like, you want to talk about our Saskatchewan winter problems here. Brett Lawther could actually give the inconsistencies, when we talk about inconsistent weather patterns, Brett Lawther and his inconsistencies for kicking could give our inconsistent weather patterns a run for its money, and that's saying something. But because he was stiff, I think something, he was stiff in the back. I don't necessarily think he was injured, but he wasn't up to par. So because of his already inconsistent problems, you want to trust him having a bye. God only knows what kind of practice or reps he would be able to do. His body's not going to be 100%. And you want to throw him out there in the West Final. And then what? When you got a guy like this kid is what? He's in his early 20s. And yeah, you guys already talked about it. Like, he has one heck of a leg. Like, that, I've never seen somebody so powerful, at least in recent memory. And I mean, again, I thought some of those, just by the way the camera angle was, he had so much power, the camera was panning down, thinking that a kicker wouldn't even be able to make the height that some of those kicks went. It was amazing. So I'd say put Hughes in there. I mean, even as far as his confidence, he didn't seem jittered. It was kind of pretty well straight down the middle. So I would say go with Hughes, but we know Corey Mace
Do you think he'll go with Hughes? Would go with Hughes, but do you think Corey Mace will?
No. Why would he do it this late? I mean, that's the thing. He's had plenty of opportunities, and then I think the last guy there that didn't do too well when Lawther also took some time off, or took, what was it, a week off? I think that scared him, but no, we're not going to see any changes of kicking at best case scenario till next season.
Dallas, thanks for the call. Thanks for waiting up after the Blue Jays game. As, of course, the fan line is open, 1-877-332-8255. So me, Belton, do you think Corey Mace will play Hughes?
Oh, boy.
That's the question right there.
I know. Isn't that a tougher one? And Dallas is kind of right on that one, right? And Belton, too. That they should have made the change a long time ago, or they should have really challenged him a lot more efficiently earlier on this season. But I think, you know what? I think he's going to have to prove something. And I know the players like him, but they're pro players. You're headed into the playoffs. They're not going to pout about it now. Mm-hmm. They're not going to say, you know what, poor Brett. He's been here all year, but we can't count on him, and he's hurt. I think that gives him an easy way out as well.
Yeah.
Put in Hughes. Yeah. Do I think Corey Mace is going to put in Hughes? Now I think I do, Belton. I really
do?
I think he's going to. I think he has to.
Oh, wow.
I think, Jamie, you and I have talked to him kind of, you know, informally, and I get the impression that, yes, he's going to.
Mm.
I think he has to, Belton.
And I think he has to, but I'm just on the whole season.
Mm-hmm. They haven't yet.
He's stuck
with them. But he's got to make a bold move.
And I'm with you. This game, the next game they play.
Yeah. Oh, God.
There's much more at stake here.
You know what? And to look at it in a funny psychological way here, if they go through this game and they lose because Brett Lawther misses a field goal or two, I think that that Corey Mace is going to be second-guessed an awful lot, and it puts his leadership – I know he's a great coach, but all of a sudden you start questioning him a little bit more, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the loyalty. But if they put Hughes in, you can say, we put him in, he performed beyond our expectations. Yeah. He was perfect. And you put him in, and if he misses one, then you can kind of say, you know what? We based our decision on what he had performed, how he had performed, and I think that we made the right decision. It cost us. That's unfortunate. But based on what what we had seen, we had to make that change. And I think that's an easier sell
I could go with that there, especially with Lawther missing some kicks the way he has this season. I could go with that.
Okay. And for that reason, Belton and Jamie, I think that Corey Mace, he can argue that a lot better than he can argue using Brett Lawther. So,
I'm still going with Lawther.
You think Corey Mace is going to go with Lawther?
I do.
Okay.
I really do.
You think he has the final say?
Who, Coach Mace?
Yeah, he has the final say. But do you think, what do you think he's got Jeff McGarry too, or Kent McGarry? I'm sorry. I'm getting all these names, the first names.
McGarry, right?
Their special teams coach. How much does he have say in it too? Mark Mueller, the offensive coordinator, right? Look, we can get within range now because we know we've got a kicker.
Yeah.
That comes into the argument a little bit too, but I still think the argument is a lot easier to make from Corey Mace's point of view, from anybody's point of view. Hughes has been perfect. There is no reason for us to take him out. We have a kicker, a veteran kicker who hasn't been dependable, and he's hurt. We're going with the new guy because he showed us that he's capable of handling this role.
I was just going through all the guys they'd have to bring on the roster and see where they are ratio-wise. They can definitely make it work.
Oh, yeah.
They can.
They
have an American kicker. Absolutely, they can.
All right. Well, let's strike out the band, fellas. Hey, then the way Hughes kicked that ball.
Yes.
Honestly, I think he can nail a 50-plus yarder.
Yeah, suddenly they don't have to stop going into pill zone and win.
All Corey Mace. It's all about Corey Mace sitting down, looking himself in the mirror, closing his eyes, visualizing a game-winning field goal to get you to a Grey Cup, and go, deep breath. Brett, get out there and kick it. Michael Hughes, get out there and kick it, and whatever you fall on as the guy you would trust most to make that kick is the guy you're sending on the roster.
And right now,
think it's Brett Lawther.
Really?
Wow.
All right.
That would be a shame, I think.
I can't believe we're talking about kicker still. What has been like 20, 30 minutes?
He's sick. They're all sick of talking about it. Brett Lawther's sick of us talking about it too. And he doesn't deserve this, but that's the position he's put himself in.
Right? Let's go to Dave in Momart. Dave, what are you? What's your pondering tonight after the Riders lose to the Lions?
Well, I went and I kind of was hoping for at least a 1-1 for the last couple of games here, but. You know, one thing I like is the talent level of the team because these, you know, playing our backups and things like that, all the games are competitive and they're right tight, so I feel pretty good about the final. So, we'll see. Kicker-wise, the guy's got a major leg, but it's one game, so who knows, right?
Who would you play?
Who would I play?
In the playoffs.
Probably. Well, honest to God, I'd go with Brett because, not just because he's a good guy. Brett has played better in the last little bit, and he's the vet. This guy, we've had one game. That's tough to go on one game.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, the guy, don't get me wrong, yes, he has a major leg. Now, I remember other kickers. I remember a guy like me and Daryl, you'd remember Paul Watson. I mean, he had a major leg.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about Vanderjack, too, right? They've had some great kickers here, strong legs over the years, right?
Yeah. Well, Vanderjack, he did a really good one with the Colts. He helped my Steelers do it. I kind of appreciated him that time. So, Hey, I got to think this is a totally something stupid, but I went and our D lineman there, our international player, Baldonado.
Yes.
You got a nickname?
They call him Haba.
Okay.
Just shortening his first name, though, isn't it?
Yeah, Habakkuk.
Yeah.
They call him Haba.
Okay. Well, I think he's he's played pretty well. He's been, obviously, he's out there lots, and he's playing pretty well. I have one for him anyways, or maybe you guys can channel through, maybe through Britain.
Oh, I want to hear it. Hear this
do we man. Want to hear it? Or do we want to hit some dumb buttons?
Get ready on the dumb button. Go for it.
It's good.
Okay.
Candy.
Candy Baldonado.
Candy Baldonado. Little Blue Jays.
You're in your Blue Jays mode, are you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I'm still looking at these candied whiskey wings over here. We still have a few of those left, Dave. Candy Baldonado from Candy Maldonado, who made some big hits in the Jays in the 90s. Yeah, Dave, thanks for the call. You're on the Green Zone postgame show. Kicker is going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting decision, no doubt about it. We're going to hear from the kicker, Michael Hughes, a little bit later. But coming up next, we need to hear from the head coach on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.